Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And sometimes, Carissa, advertise wine.
What?
Or talk about advertising wine or get other people to enjoy wine as much as we do.
Well, that would be a good thing.
How do you do that a marketing brain?
That's a great question. How do we do that?
So many different ways. Yeah. I mean, it used to be print, right?
Yeah.
You'd put out an ad in a traditional magazine or newspaper or something like that. Picture of something, probably a bottle. Rainy on ice, so nice.
There you go.
Something like that.
Oh, wait a minute. That's a flashback. Jeff, producer, do you remember that? That ad?
He's not going to know any of this.
Which ad? Sorry, I got the headphones on and it just went in one ear and out the other.
Oh, Riuniti on ice. So nice. Have you ever heard of Riuniti?
No.
Well, I mean, you shouldn't have, really.
How long ago was that?
Probably before your time.
For sure, before your time.
So pre-1993?
Yeah, yes. I would think so.
I'm going to myself out of this.
Okay. Blue Nun. There were a couple like those old school things. But I mean, if you were in the wine space, you sort of just knew about them by osmosis, right?
Because
it
was like they did
to their credit enter into the wider culture. Like people knew that ad whether or not they knew what it was. So that's effective marketing, I imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really, I mean, we've talked about it. It's really hard to kind of break through today in the clutter of certainly print advertising,
yep.
But now everything is very video driven and short clips and everything on, you know, TikTok and yep. Instagram.
You're fighting algorithms too.
We are fighting algorithms.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I know it does put kind of the onus back on the wine brands and the regions to be really creative and innovative.
Yeah, it's difficult.
But you know, you wrote a Good Stuff column a few weeks ago talking about wine ads. Why don't you fill us in on one of our, we'll refer to her as the patron saint.
You mean Moira Rose?
Yes.
Moira Rose, it's the greatest wine ad ever created, was on a fictional show called Schitt's Creek.
Yes.
Moira Rose delivered the spiel.
I know, I'm trying to find
about
it.
An amazing fruit wine.
I mean, it was hysterical. I did not catch all of the episodes of Schitt's Creek, but I did see that one. And
it's kind of epically famous at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She consumes a little bit too much of the fruit wine at one point, gets very angry, keeps flubbing her lines, has to be talked off a ledge by her husband, David Rose. Is he David Rose? I can't remember. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
Eugene Levy. Catherine O'Hara played Moira Rose. So some comedy legends, pretty funny, great writing, and it sort of takes the piss out of the wine space, but also in a really lovely, like, sweet way.
Yes. Well, I think for a long time, wine was just an image of rolling hills and just the beautiful vineyards, the kind of the landscape with a bottle of wine. And now it's much more lifestyle and culture and sort of fit and almost surprising in different places. So that was kind of a funny nod back. Mm-hmm. To the original advertising of wine.
It was. All right, we'll be right back on to introduce our guest on today's Good Stuff. Thank you for joining us on today's Good Stuff. In studio, we have our guest, Tyler Flowers. Welcome. I guess I should say a little bit about your titles. I mean, you do many things. You're senior relationship manager at American Ag Credit, but most importantly, maybe for this conversation, you are a Sonoma County wine grower.
Woo-woo.
True. Yes.
All right.
I know.
Okay, so we want to know all about that. But tell us how you got here. Where'd you grow up?
Start at the beginning. We call this your origin story.
Yeah. Like, where'd you grow up?
Yeah.
Let's see where to start. We are going back. Okay. Well, I grew up in Starkville, Mississippi. Home to the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Go Dogs.
Okay.
Grew up on a cattle farm. We raised cattle. We had a timber operation and made hay. And so that was a really, you know, the sort of small family farm upbringing in rural Mississippi. Loved it. And Enjoyed growing up on the farm. Went to Mississippi State to get an ag economics degree, and then found myself working for Farm Credit in Mississippi, First South Farm Credit, right out of college. I was a credit analyst for 2 years in Jackson, the state's capital. And then when they promoted me to a relationship manager, they moved me to their rival school, Ole Miss. And I worked in Oxford, Mississippi, which is okay because that's where I met Caitlin, my wife. So followed a girl
you
out here.
Fell in love with the competition.
That's true. Yes.
I guess. Yeah. Is that it?
We say house divided. Mississippi State. Yep. And since Caitlin buys the clothes, all of my children have Ole Miss gear instead of state gear.
Oh, no.
That's all right.
Okay. All right. You okay?
Wait, I want to stop you a minute, though. Go back to growing up on the family farm. Like, what are some of your earliest memories on the farm? And, like,
oh, well, it's funny you say that. Have been listening to your podcast for a long time, and I know that Sonoma County Wine Growers has such a dear partnership with John Deere. I was thinking, I was thinking about this. I honestly believe I learned to drive a John Deere about 5 years before I learned to drive a truck.
That's
so
amazing.
You know, I think it's a very standard small family farm upbringing. I remember learning to drive the tractor, helping my dad out after school, and as soon as I could drive, you know, I was shooting back to the farm to feed cows and do that kind of stuff before I would go back to school for football practice. And so it was very special. The farm was in my family for almost 200 years.
Wow.
The house.
So you'd be part of our century club.
I would be, maybe I can recreate it out here. Yeah. We think our family bought the farm in the early 1800s. The house I grew up in was built in 1856.
Wow. Mm.
My dad was the first family member not to be born in the home. I guess, you know, 1956, they say, all right, we'll go to the hospital now.
Good idea.
Very special place to grow up, very communal. It was awesome. Much like Sonoma County, I've noticed.
That's great.
So were you always interested in kind of the business side? Was that something that was unique in the family for you? Like, is it something you thought was missing? Or
actually,
what?
No. I never bothered with the finances. I was having too much fun, you know, playing on the farm, hunting, fishing, taking care of the animals. I really enjoyed ag economics, and I learned the business side of it in college. And then, you know, I graduated. Farm credit wasn't an obvious choice. My family didn't use farm credit. And so I sort of just, it fell in my lap, and I found my way there. And as soon as I was there, it was an obvious, perfect fit. And it felt like, you know, a little bit of fate. That was where I was supposed to be. Even when they transferred me to Oxford, you know, I'm gonna go do this surrounded by rebels. And I love the farm upbringing. And I've noticed that most of my colleagues at American Ag Credit out here, they are all farm kids for the most part that found their way into finance just like I did.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a probably unique understanding of what, you know, all the different things that a farmer has to experience to help them out.
Well, anybody can learn finance, but not anybody can learn empathy and empathize with the farmers and the challenges that they face. So that's why our team's so special.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and maybe just talk a little bit about farm credit. I mean, for folks, I mean, if you're in the region, but this obviously gets broadcast out much broader, but like what is farm credit?
Farm credit, it was established by the Farm Bill in 1916, I believe. So we're over 100 years old. We exist to provide financial solutions to the farmers and ranchers across the nation. There are four farm credit banks that derive their funds from the sale of farm credit bonds. So our funding source ultimately is farm credit bonds on the bond market. Those banks are the wholesale lenders who then lend it to the retail lenders like American Ag Credit and First South Farm Credit, where I came from. And then we turn around and lend it to the farmers and ranchers in our communities. And the goal is to support their missions and be a small part of their success in the industry. So it's a wonderful place to work. It's structured like a cooperative, which is another unique characteristic.
Yeah, for sure.
When you are a customer of American Ag or any farm credit, you're an owner/member, and you get to participate in our patronage program. We return a portion of our profits every year back to our customer base. So it's a really special place, and I can't emphasize enough the team that we have with our not only our ag expertise, but going back to the empathy and the ability to really connect with our customers, mm-hmm. it helps us and gives us a leg up in helping them succeed.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I know there's so many of our growers, farmers that you all work with mm-hmm. And have been a great partner to Sonoma County Wine Growers over the years as well. So, and most recently, a lot of effort and investment in our foundation, our vineyard workforce. So yep. thank you for all of those opportunities to work together.
Well, I'd like to go back to Oxford.
Okay, there you go.
And
you just like a good rivalry, that's all.
I do like a good rivalry, that is true. But but you said, you know, you followed a girl. So you meet Caitlin in Oxford, and then you follow her here because she's from here. Tell us a little bit about her family background.
Yeah, it's a funny story. Caitlin grew up here in Sonoma County. Her dad, I think, is a third or fourth generation Sonoma County resident, and he grew up in Cloverdale. They did not grow grapes historically. That's something they started about 10 or 11 or 12 years ago in okay. Bennett Valley. When I moved to Oxford, I didn't know anybody. I was trying to make friends. I was going out and being social, and I met Caitlin at a place called The Library. You notice I didn't
which
say
is a bar,
the library.
Which is a bar.
Oh,
right?
yeah, you're familiar.
Well, I mean, there's more than one.
It's the only bar that's worth going to if you're trying to meet people. And I was with a few of my buddies. We met and just immediately hit it off, started dating. And about 7 or 8 months later, I came out and visited her family for Christmas.
Okay.
First time in Sonoma County, and just fell in love with it instantly. As you know, I was already working for Farm Credit, so I started looking around and seeing what Farm Credits were available here, and it was American Ag. And I reached out to them and started building a relationship with the people who were hiring. And they weren't hiring at the time. This was 2014, 2015. So I stayed in touch and waited for people to retire and positions to become open. And I would say it's probably my greatest exercise in patience ever because yeah. it took 6 years, which was way longer than I wanted. Wow. We wanted to move out almost immediately. And finally, it paid off, and I started working for American Ag in 2021, and we moved out in December of 2021.
Okay.
Caitlin, bless her heart, she was graduating law school when we met. She had already canceled her lease and was planning on moving back home. And I convinced her to stick around just for the summer, just to see how things go.
Oh, my gosh.
So she re-upped her lease, and I helped her find an externship. And that turned into almost 10 years in Oxford, marriage, kids. And finally, I made good on my promise, and we moved out here. I'm sure her parents were thrilled.
Oh my.
With me in the beginning.
Right.
Hey, in the end.
Yeah.
All good things in the end.
Yep. Exactly.
That's crazy.
That's a long wait. So during this time period that you're living in Mississippi and, mm-hmm. and waiting to move to Sonoma, are they planting grapes at this point?
Yep, exactly. Okay. They've started planting grapes. They bought the ranch in Bennett Valley, planted Pinot and Chardonnay, and had some input from Schramsberg, who we sell the grapes to still today. Worked really closely with your dear friend Tyler Click at
yes.
Redwood Empire mm-hmm. Vineyard Management. That it went perfectly. We planted the vineyard, and ultimately we got a 3-year evergreen contract with Schramsberg, and it's been a beautiful relationship.
And so why did they want to do this? Like, they hadn't been farmers before, right? So, like, what was...
Well, how long can you live in Sonoma County before you get the bug to plant a vineyard?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Exactly.
Yeah, so they got the bug. Like, was it through drinking wine? Was it through making friends with other people that were growing grapes? Like, what
were
they thinking?
We'll have to get my mother-in-law back on the show sometime.
You want to speak for her?
I know that it's something that she was always interested in, and she took some VIT courses at the Santa Rosa JC, and just dove in. She was ready,
okay.
you know, and so they spent most of Caitlin's childhood on Reebley Road in the Marquess Springs area,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and when they bought the ranch, that was sort of what they envisioned, was they wanted some more space, they wanted a vineyard. My mother-in-law was very passionate about that and still is. My father-in-law wanted space for cattle, so they
okay.
built their dream home.
Okay.
Which included a vineyard.
And so do you help with the cattle and the grapes? Like,
well, I help as much as they'll let me.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure
right,
that they
right.
need a ton of help, to be honest. Yeah, my mother-in-law's the expert on the vineyard, and my father-in-law's the expert on cattle. The best I can do is take my 6-year-old out there and throw hay over the fence.
Well, that's a lot.
Which is enough.
Yeah, you're training the next generation to get into farming.
So how about your experience with wine? When did you have your first memory of trying wine that's now the sort of backbone of the ag you work with?
Yeah, true. I am sad to say I did not grow up in a wine household.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either.
And you know what? That's okay, because I found it later. Mm-hmm. I think my first experience is, honestly, it's having dates with Caitlin, going out to steakhouses, and even, you know, maybe when I was a little bit younger, we would go out every now and then, and there would be wine at dinner at the steakhouse or whatever restaurant we went out to, and it felt so elegant.
Adult.
Different. Yeah, it was very, interesting. And then when I was an adult, I was like, well, I don't want to drink beer when I could go to a restaurant and get a couple glasses of wine. So I just started experimenting. I didn't really start developing a palate or any favorites until I would say I moved out here and was really immersed in it. And I'm not sure how much development I've actually had in my 4 years. I'm still in the adventurous, exploratory phase, but what a great place to be in that phase.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But when you met Caitlin, was she into wine? Like, did she know more than you did?
Not tremendously. No, we've kind of grown together in that.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
What was the wine, like, what sort of wines were even available in Oxford, Mississippi in those days?
Oh, I mean, they're going to burn me. It was the very standard wines you see in the Midwest and across the country. I remember Josh. I remember Camus. A lot of cabs, because these were mostly steakhouses that we went to.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's been wonderful going deeper than that. No offense to them. They're both fantastic. But it's been wonderful exploring all of the smaller family-run vintner grower operations. That's really special.
No, it's so true. We were recently with some of our pilot farmers back with John Deere and their headquarters back in the Midwest. And even as much kind of try as we might, it's still very limited to get kind of access to the small wineries and the, you know, I would say more, not interesting, but smaller production wines that we get access to here.
For sure.
So I think a lot of work to still be done back in the Midwest, probably, to bring more diversity of our wines back there.
I know someone who's going to be good at it.
We're going to try very hard.
No, but it is, I mean, it always fascinates me, like, what wines, you know, you have access to anywhere you grow up.
Well, that's true.
And how that either informs that you get into wine or you don't, or you, you know, it takes you a little bit longer.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota was not a hotbed for wine either in my early days. So there you go.
Sioux Falls, okay. I do have one interesting story. I interned at a winery in Virginia one summer in college, Chateau Morissette, and they grew Riesling on site, and they imported wine from California for others.
Oh, yeah.
And I got hired because the owner and winemaker were graduates of Mississippi State, and apparently we had a winemaking viticulture program at one point, until I guess they discovered you can't grow grapes in Mississippi. I don't know who thought it was a great idea, but it was on the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is a scenic destination. A lot of bikers would come in, and I was behind the bar doing tastings, and I would pour for people who were really interested in the wine, and I'd work my way down the bar, and it was bikers on the other end of the bar who were just slamming the wine.
Like bikers on bicycles or motorcycles?
Motorcycles.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Black leather vest.
Yeah. Nice.
Chugging wine. Yeah.
That's a visual.
I love it.
And so it was my first introduction to the actual industry.
Okay, that's cool. Exciting. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back on with Tyler Flowers. Today, Tyler Flowers, Senior Relationship Manager at American Ag Credit and a Sonoma County wine grower. So so tell us more about this Virginia tasting room experience.
So bikers on one end, motorcycle bikers.
I mean, yeah. It must have been a great learning experience, though, right? I mean, you had to talk about the wine. Did you see a little bit about, you know, how things were? Did you learn about production? Did you learn about viticulture at least a little bit?
Less about viticulture, but I did learn a lot about wine production. They cycled me through the tasting room and then bottling line, so I got to see all of the wine production process, which is really cool. If memory serves, I was 19 or 20, so not legal drinking age. Mm-hmm. And I am pouring wines and describing the notes that they're probably experiencing, having never tasted it, because they wouldn't let me taste it. Yeah. They wouldn't even let me taste it and spit. So that was a bit of a sham, but the wine was actually good. I learned a little bit about acting.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. I think the most rewarding thing, aside from working in production and learning how wine is actually made, the most special part of it was learning how important wine can be to people mm-hmm. when they're experiencing it, and watching them firsthand across the bar experiencing it, talking about what they love, what they don't love, and when they would start talking about memories and family memories and stuff like that, and I could see how it brought them back to that place. That was like, all right, this is what makes wine so special.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the tasting room experience is so valuable if mm-hmm. you're in any area of wine.
Oh yeah, you learn so much. Yeah, and it actually really is, I think, one of the best places, like you said, to capture sort of that experience and what people are paying attention to, mm-hmm. and kind of what's on trend. I mean, I think we've seen a lot of people wanting to just sit down with their friends and have a glass of wine, even in a tasting room experience, and not have all of the education kind of, I don't want to say, thrusted upon them.
It's a delicate balance.
It is, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your role at American Ag yeah. Credit. You're a senior relationship manager. You spoke very nicely earlier about the importance of empathy. Mm-hmm. What does that look like on a day-to-day basis? How does your job sort of function?
The senior relationship manager is essentially responsible for representing American Ag out in the market. And so I get to go out and I work very closely with our regional marketing manager, Kristen Tantarelli.
Who we know well. Hi, Kristen.
Shout out.
Yeah, there you go.
I work very closely with Kristen to determine what parts of the market we need to be in right now, who is getting adequate representation, where do we need to represent American Ag and the industry more. So, you know, we spend a lot of time being thoughtful and strategic in that approach, and then I go out and execute, and I go to as many events as possible. I network with growers and vintners through existing connections, and basically I try to manage this network or this ecosystem and expand it constantly, because I, you know, maybe this is a little selfish, but I want American Ag to be connected with every single grower in the county. Mm-hmm. And so that's my goal. And we have a really awesome team. It's not just me. We have 7 or 8 other lenders, relationship managers that do this same role with me. Mm-hmm. So we go out and we get to know the people in the market. We learn their business, try to understand what their needs are, and then work with them to create success.
So is region, in this case for you, just Sonoma County? Is that sort of your main emphasis?
It's primarily, we call it Northern California, but it's essentially Sonoma County, Napa County, Lake County, and Mendocino County.
Mm, okay. The four-pack.
Yeah,
right.
The four-pack.
And how much of the people that you work with are in grapes? I mean, what percentage would you say? Is it?
I would have to say in Sonoma and Napa, which are the two counties I primarily focus on, it's probably in the ballpark of 90%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other 10% being dairies. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of very dear dairy customers in Petaluma.
For sure, that's a big part. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit, too. It says here you went and got UC Davis's Wine Executive Program.
Mm-hmm.
What inspired that, and how did that kind of help shape
your
approach is?
Yeah, I think that was my second year here, and I noticed that there was a lot I needed to learn. There still is, but I shortened the gap a tiny bit with that program. I loved it. I found out about it, asked if I could go, and they said, absolutely, we should do this. And so I went. It was a wonderful experience. I was shocked at how wide-ranging the content was. I mean, we're talking about very in-depth UC Davis viticulture enology, stuff that's way over my head, okay, because I'm not a scientist. But it was so interesting. It was fascinating. We got to walk out in the vineyards. We saw the wine production facility, all these things. And then it would go into finance and economics content, all the way to marketing, branding, and legal issues in the wine industry. So I came out of that 4 or 5 day program much more knowledgeable, passionate about, you know, what challenges there are ahead and how we can meet those challenges. And I learned a lot, I would say mostly, about what growers and vintners deal with. I had no idea what a full-time job it is. You know, when where I grew up, farming was farming, and not to take away from them because they were very smart people, but I don't think that there were legal challenges and there wasn't marketing concerns. I mean, these people who were my friends and family and customers, they would farm, I would say, more for a lifestyle rather than for the finished product. I mean, you're growing soybeans, cotton, corn, you harvest it, you maximize revenue, you put it on a barge in Memphis and wave goodbye, and you never know where it goes. Unlike here, where people follow their product to the very end, which is very special because then you can share it and enjoy in that. So that was an excellent program, and I recommend it to anybody.
It's interesting you say that. I mean, we talk a lot about that as kind of almost the secret sauce of wine grapes in the high, even in the high value crop space, or especially a crop, is that there's actually the most often the actual farm name is on the bottle. Like it's kind of the traceability back to actually know where that fruit came from, who was the farmer, the family, like what it meant. I mean, there's just so much information that you don't get, you know, on corn.
Exactly.
Or, unless you're at a farmer's market, which we're blessed to have a lot of great farmer's markets out here, but spending time back in the Midwest, it's like, you know, you're in a grocery store, I don't know where the blueberries came from or the bananas or the, you know, anything. It's a really nice opportunity for us to tell that story. And it's been a great way for us to attract partners outside of the wine industry to partner with us because it provides a real connection.
I believe it.
Yeah. The storytelling for sure. So who were some of the other people in the class? I mean, did you kind of learn from them as well, I would think?
I learned from everybody. One of the key figures that I spent a lot of time with that week is Russ Weiss, the president of Walsh Vineyards Management. He spent, I think, 18 years at Silverado Vineyards before that. And he was a wealth of knowledge, and I was very lucky to develop a relationship with him. I have still learned, outside of that class, so much from that man. He is a very special and passionate person in this industry. There were people from all over the world, which was awesome. There were probably 5 or 6 people from Germany. There was you know, Trinquero sent a ton of people there. I met their head of IT, who I thought at first I was like, okay, well, I'm not that interested in IT. But when he started talking about all of the IT behind their production facilities, I was like, whoa.
Then it's
I had no idea.
It's interesting. Yeah, and you think, and then that impacts like how much money they need, right?
Exactly.
Like,
right.
Wait a minute.
Every piece of it.
Yeah,
it all comes back together.
It's all connected.
No, I love Russ. Yeah, so people from Germany and people from other, and Trinquero, that's interesting. So kind of all facets.
All over the place.
I like that.
I'd like to take that class.
I know. I was actually thinking that.
Can
I'm
we
like,
take that class and and stream it live?
Maybe we just do that. What do you think,
Bring
Jeff?
The show. Bring the show to the class.
Five days of recording live from Davis.
It's worth it, I promise.
Our producer's not into that. So
We'll send you a tape.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, well, we want to get into a couple other things when we come back after a break, but maybe, I'm surprised Chris hasn't brought it up already, that there is a bottle of wine sitting here.
Well, it took him 10 years to move out here, so
about
patience.
To be patient.
So I'm trying to be patient and emulate the patience that
he... Are you going to wait 10 years for that bottle?
I don't think so.
Okay, well,
Or 6 years. I got that right? 6 years. Whatever.
Okay, well, we'll come right back on with our guest, Tyler Flowers, and maybe open a bottle of wine.
Yes.
back on with Tyler Flowers, Senior Relationship Manager at American Ag Credit and Sonoma County Wine Grower, and he brought a bottle.
He did. And not just any bottle.
I know. Well,
sparkling.
Tell us about this bottle, Tyler. Like, what is it? What is it?
So, like I said, we sell our grapes to Schramsberg. This is a 2019 vintage vineyard designate, Badgley Family Vineyards, from Bennett Valley. It's the first vineyard designate we've had since we had the vineyard and the relationship with Schramsberg. So very,
so awesome.
Very special.
Yeah.
If we go through this, I know how to get more bottles.
I like that.
Pretty sure we bought 10 cases, more.
Yeah. All right.
I think that's their trick is like they
it
put
is.
A family name and then all of a sudden, I mean, who doesn't want, and how cool, vineyard designated sparkling, which is not that typical.
Right.
So
yeah.
I love it.
All right.
I don't think I'm going to love it anymore. We should probably open it.
I think
it.
You can open it. Yeah. We'll let you do the honors, Tyler, since
Let's
it's closest
it.
To you. And, Carissa would just start drinking it from the bottle,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
We do have glassware.
Yeah.
There we go. All right.
Perfect. Justin, you want to help us pour maybe? And then we can
keep
chatting here. Who doesn't like bubbles?
And so Schramsberg's like the sort of exclusive buyer of the grapes? Or
definitely,
yeah,
yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And so that's very exciting. And to do bubbles only.
I know.
Like, out of your grapes. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the fun thing, too, about that is not everyone knows, if you're not in the wine industry, but certainly when you grow grapes for sparkling, they get harvested a little earlier, mm-hmm. a little lower Brix, i.e. sugar levels. So sometimes it's... I know a lot of our growers love to grow for sparkling because it's a little less nail-biting.
There's less mm-hmm. weather risk, I think.
There
yeah.
you go.
My
exactly.
very first harvest out here was fall of 22. I believe it was that year, and it was such a heat spike. And I saw a lot of my customers and contacts and friends scrambling.
Yeah.
And we were so thankful to already have everything harvested.
Out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Cheers. It's a little less stress, for
cheers.
Sure.
Cheers.
But there you sometimes have to be a little more patient before you can enjoy it is the hard part. But here we are.
Well, that's true, because this is a 19,
yeah.
right?
So 7 years later, you're a patient guy, though. Clearly, that has been established from the beginning.
Says no one ever. Thank you.
Right. Okay, well, you were at a moment in time. I want to touch on, in the time we have left, also, you've joined the Petaluma Gap Wine Growers, so mm-hmm. tell us about that. Like, what that organization is up to, what you're doing, what your involvement looks
What's
like.
What's all the scoop, Tyler? Yep. What's the scoop?
Oh, gosh. I was so lucky and fortunate to be asked to join the board there. And American Ag has had a relationship with the Petaluma Gap Wine Growers Alliance far longer than I've been around. But they had an open board seat, and I was asked to join. And I joined the board about a little over a year ago and work with some of my closest friends and contacts in the industry. The Klein family, Megan Klein's on the board, Steve San Giacomo. There's a ton of great people on that board, and we get to work with Cheryl, the executive director. Mm-hmm. I think that we are very focused on our value proposition to the membership and trying to solidify what plans we want to execute on this year. It seems like the market is evolving quite rapidly, and so we're doing our best to evolve with it mm-hmm. and continue to add value and increase our value to the members. There's a lot of exciting programs. Our sort of staple event each fall has been Win to Wine in the past, and that's evolving a little bit, and we're excited about that. I'll have to send you the event schedule. I'm not sure what exactly we have going up, but it's going to be a good year.
And so is that part of the evolution, is to just get in front of more people?
I think so, yeah. We want to increase numbers, as any organization does. We want more membership. We want more traffic at the events. We want people to come enjoy the Petaluma Gap and what makes it so special, and drink the wines and create really fun, energetic events.
Yeah. I mean, I think events are key, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people just need to get together and try wines and talk to the farmers and talk to the winemakers, and then they get it.
It's a very, very passionate group. I see that in pretty much every organization that I'm a part of.
It's
the passion is there. That is, if we've got
it's
anything, it's passion in this county.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of passion that I like that. Very good. Well, so much going on, and I do have to just formally thank you and American Ag Credit. You guys have been just fantastic partners for the wine growers. Even pre my almost 14 years that I've been doing this. But obviously, I mean, our partnership's evolved, and I think, you know, we really appreciate how much, especially you invest in our programs with our foundation to support our vineyard workforce, whether it's our Leadership Academy, our employee recognition, and of course, all of our growers. So we just, a big thank you for all of that work and effort to support us.
Thank you. We're more than happy to.
Yeah, it's been such a great relationship.
And all the wonderful coffee cups.
And we get a lot of coffee. I know. You are the official coffee mug / water glass supplier.
We've got
the wine blender. So for the radio show and at our office. So there you go.
So for people to find out more about American Ag Credit, is there a good website? Do you have social? Like, how can people find out more?
Yes, American Ag Credit. Google it. You'll find us. We'll be there right at the top. We have an awesome website. It discusses everything and a lot more that I've talked about today. Please reach out. We have local offices in Santa Rosa and Napa, as well as Ukiah. So we're here. We have a full team, and we really want to connect with everyone in the county.
Well, thank you so much for being on today's Good Stuff.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Up on today's Good Stuff and interesting.
Yeah, isn't that great? I mean, I think it's really nice to have someone like Tyler, who, you know, obviously relationship senior manager for American Ag, but, you know, rooted in agriculture, grew up in agriculture and moved out here now and has really immersed himself in wine ag and vineyards and took the executive program at UC Davis to learn even more. So I really appreciate that. And it's, you know, family on his wife's side are growing grapes in Bennett Valley.
Right.
And we got to have some delicious sparkling today. Woo woo. Where's my bubble bell? I should have brought the bubble bell. I didn't know.
Well,
Jeff's happy, the producer, that I did not bring the bubble bell.
We got to open a bottle on air. So that,
we got
that counts.
We got the pop.
That counts. Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's kind of a nice way to do a business, right? Like, grow just enough grapes, find the right partner. They put your name on a label.
Yeah.
Make delicious
cool.
wine.
Which is really special. I mean, you don't often get a vineyard designated sparkling wine. And I know even Schaumsberg kind of goes through like being very specific about when they want to do or put an actual name on the bottle. So that's very cool to have that on the bottle.
It really is.
It is.
7 years later.
And delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. It is that patience thing. But but yeah, he's sort of involved in all aspects as well as on the community side with Petaluma Gap Wine Growers. So all good.
Yeah.
That empathy is hard at work.
I think, yes. And we should just mention, he talked about looking up American Ag, but their website's agloan.com if you want to learn more about American Ag.
I know, I'm like, I want to learn more. I mean, we learned some, but yeah, it's kind of a fascinating side of the ag business because you can't just go to a regular lender, right? I mean,
no,
is that really how this all started?
Well, I mean, I think there's something very unique about lending for agriculture when you think about just especially wine grapes and vineyards, the time horizon of when you plant a vineyard to when you get fruit to when you really start to have a return on investment is not for a typical bank to understand, certainly if you think about some of the large lenders out there.
Mm-hmm.
Agriculture is pretty special.
All right. Well, speaking of special, what are you bringing to Tuesday night wine
night? Tuesday night. Well, I'm going to do a shout out to the Petaluma Gap. And Tyler mentioned one of his counterparts on the board, Steve San Giacomo. And so I'm going to have the San Giacomo Roberts Road Chardonnay in the heart of the Petaluma Gap.
It sure is. Well, I'm going to take your lead and mention a brand that people may not know as well that is associated with Klein called Gust. And it's sort of the younger generation's lineup of very specific Petaluma Gap wines. So 2025 Riesling, because he also mentioned his time in Virginia selling Riesling to bikers, which I kind of love that visual.
I do, yes. And you should check out all the Petaluma Gap wines and go to their AVA website, petalumagap.com. And that's where all the list of events and other things Tyler was mentioning, you can find there.
Right. Well, yeah, that Wind to Wine is kind of their signature, but it sounds like they may have a lot more things coming on, which is good. I mean,
I'm
we want excited. More events.
I know. I'm excited to hear what's ahead for Petaluma Gap as one of our currently 19 EVAs in Sonoma County.
Oh, geez. Yeah, and that one was hard-earned. I remember that being in the thick of it for years. I mean, talk about patience, like years and years and years of like, okay, not ready yet.
Patience is going to be the theme of today's show for sure.
I think, yeah, maybe producer Jeff will have patience with us. You never know.
I don't know about that. Wait a minute.
Well, thanks for joining us today on The Good Stuff from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.